Hi everyone, welcome back to the MetaBullet Step 2 and 3 podcast. In today's episode, we cover the topic of alopecia areata found under the dermatology section at MetaBullets.com. Let's begin with a clinical snapshot. A 23-year-old man with a past medical history of vitiligo comes to the dermatologist for multiple round patches of painless bald spots on his scalp and eyebrows. He denies pulling any hair out intentionally. There is notably no scarring, erythema, or inflammation. Nail exam reveals pitting of the nail plate. He has an extensive family history of autoimmune diseases. Let's continue with an introduction to alopecia areata. This refers to a chronic, autoimmune, non-scarring hair loss disorder. This is in contrast to scarring cicatricial alopecic disorder, such as discoid lupus or lichen planopilaris, that lead to destruction of the hair follicle. Variants include alopecia totalis, which is complete hair loss of the scalp, and alopecia universalis, which is complete hair loss on the scalp and body, including the eyelashes, eyebrows, and extremities. Conditions that are associated include other autoimmune diseases, especially thyroid and atopic disorders. In terms of the epidemiology, this is a rare disease with a 1.7% lifetime risk of developing the disease. It affects males and females equally, and it affects children and adults equally. Moving on to the presentation, symptoms include smooth, discrete, circular patches of hair loss that are typically without pain or itchiness. They can spontaneously regrow hair or spontaneously progress to alopecia totalis and universalis. There is no erythema, inflammation, or scarring. New hairs are often fine and white in color, and nail abnormalities are common, including pitting of the nail plate, seen in up to 30% of patients. In terms of the evaluation, the clinical evaluation of hair loss sites includes exclamation point hairs at margins of the patches. These are short, broken hairs that narrow at the base and are extracted easily, but this finding has a low sensitivity. One can perform a punch biopsy, which will demonstrate peribulbar lymphocytic inflammatory infiltrates surrounding the follicles, and other laboratory studies are typically normal. In terms of the differential, make sure to think about tinea capitis, trichotillomania or nervous hair pulling, androgenic alopecia, cicatricial alopecia, telogen effluvium, and traction alopecia. This is secondary to hair tension that is prolonged or repetitive. In terms of treatment, in many cases hair may regrow spontaneously. There are limited therapies available, all with limited efficacy. One option is steroids. This may be intralesional injections, topical steroids, or systemic steroids. Another option is topical immunotherapies or irritants, such as retinoids and anthralin. Other therapies that are currently under investigation include the targeted oral immunotherapies, such as Janus kinase inhibitors, including tofacitinib and ruxolitinib. And in terms of the prognosis, remember that there's a variable, unpredictable pattern of regrowth, patchy hair loss, and progression to alopecia totalis or universalis. Complications include that if the eyelashes are lost, this can result in dry eyes or corneal abrasions. And lastly, remember that the quality of life is often impacted. Now that we've discussed the major points relating to alopecia areata, let's walk through a question to apply what we've learned and get a sense of how the topic might be tested. For this question, consider the following clinical scenario. A 19-year-old male presents to a dermatologist with the concern of patchy hair loss resulting in several areas of baldness on his scalp. These bald spots have manifested over the last 2 months. There is no notable scaling, inflammation, or scarring associated with these patches. Which of the following conditions is associated with this patient's presentation? And the answer choices are: Choice 1, non-insulin-dependent diabetes. Choice 2, migraine headaches. Choice 3, scoliosis. Choice 4, gonococcal arthritis. Or Choice 5, autoimmune thyroiditis. The best answer to this question is Choice 5, autoimmune thyroiditis. This patient exhibits alopecia areata, recurrent patchy hair loss typically affecting the scalp, but may occur on any hair-bearing part of the body. Alopecia areata is associated with autoimmune conditions including autoimmune thyroid disease, vitiligo, atopic dermatitis, collagen vascular disease, asthma, rheumatoid arthritis, lupus, or seasonal allergies. Alopecia areata presents as rapid hair loss resulting in bald spots on the scalp. There are smooth hairless patches surrounded by exclamation point hairs. Treatment includes topical and oral steroids, minoxidil, cyclosporine, and phototherapy, which may temporarily induce hair growth. However, these treatment modalities do not affect the disease course, as hair loss typically recurs once treatment is halted. Often the disease resolves spontaneously without treatment. Let's also discuss why the other choices are incorrect. Choice 1. Type 2 diabetes is not associated with alopecia areata. However, type 1 diabetes, with its autoimmune basis, may have a small association with the condition. Choice 2. Migraine headaches are not associated with alopecia areata. Choice 3. Scoliosis is not associated with alopecia areata. Choice 4. Gonococcal arthritis is not associated with alopecia areata, as it is an acquired infection and not an autoimmune condition. That's all for this review about alopecia areata. We hope that was helpful. This is the MedBullets Step 2 and 3 podcast, a daily audio review session from MedBullets, the free learning and collaboration community for medical student education. As a reminder, you can follow along with these podcast episodes by reviewing the topics directly on MedBullets.com. You can listen to these episodes on the MedBullets website or phone app while reading through the topic. If the MedBullets podcast has been valuable to you, we'd be thrilled if you considered leaving us a 5-star rating and writing us a review on Apple Podcasts. It will help us spread the word and increase our discoverability tremendously. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you all tomorrow, right here on the MedBullets Step 2 and 3 podcast.